Welcome to the CMO Marketing Podcast, where we interview business owners, leaders, or marketing professionals to find out their lessons and stories for success.
Welcome to episode number 121 of the CMO Marketing Podcast with me, Simon Dell, your host. Today we have on the show a gentleman by the name of Dmitry Kustov. We're going to be talking all things conversions and e-commerce. Before we jump into the interview, a little bit about CMO. If you want to come and find out what we do, cmo.com. We are Australia's only marketing staff on demand agency. If you need marketing staff, we pretty much can find anybody you need. So come and have a chat with us, whether it's a copywriter, graphic designer, senior marketing strategist, junior social media coordinator. We've pretty much got access to them all. So give us a call, come and find out what we do, or reach out, contact me, simon@cmo.com. Also come and follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok. Got lots of good videos on TikTok. Come and see what we do, check out some of our content. And also, if you're looking to do your own podcast, come and talk to Gilberto. He is the podcast boss. It's thepodcastboss.com. He can help you out with anything audio. He's been doing our podcast since day one. Without further ado, let's jump into the interview with Dmitry Kustov. So welcome to the CMO Marketing Show, Dmitry Kustov. You are in... are you in Houston, Texas at the moment?
Correct.
I on a complete side note here, I spent a week in Houston, Texas, getting very, very drunk with my brother when he used to live there. And I went to some fantastic bars and restaurants. And in all honesty, Dmitry, I couldn't remember a single name of any of them. So it was that good a week. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about you work for Rejects SEO. Tell us the story about that.
All right. So Rejects SEO, we are a full service internet marketing agency. We are, yes, located in Houston. And basically our idea is that we can take anybody who come to us, any client, and we take them from zero to a hero. The way we are different from our competition is that every decision, every step in our process, we run through data analysis. So instead of just trusting our gut, we trust the data. Our bread and butter is typically SEO. That's most of our clients, most of our work is about SEO. But in a lot of cases, in order to perform very good SEO service, we have to make sure that the website is designed well, that it runs quickly, loads fast, and anything else that is for leads tracking, for conversions tracking, all of that stuff. We need to make sure that all of that is done very much correctly and to its best ability.
So we've spoken about SEO on this podcast show a number of times in the past with other different people. One question I obviously wanted to sort of focus on with you was the design aspect. And a lot of people don't quite realize that, you know, SEO, there is a, you know, it's a key component of SEO is the design of the website. What does that mean? You know, when you kind of say good design, you know, what does that mean in layman's terms to the, you know, the business owner at the other end?
Right. So SEO, first of all, what is that? Search engine optimization. The goal of it is to rank on the first page of Google or any other search engine for the services you provide. And SEO has really four major parts of it. And the first one is content. Then there's technical optimization, backlinks, and another one is user experience. And user experience really is, that's what typically, in layman's terms, people understand as design. And the whole idea is that if you go to any website from your phone or desktop or whatever it is, and it takes forever to load, or you can't find a button to contact a person, or you can't you can't find anything, any type of information you're looking for, well, then you're going to leave that website. And in Google's, for Google, it is in their best interest to show websites on the first page that are engaging, that people do not leave quickly. Yeah. So that's where the whole design aspect comes in, because that's where user experience happens. If the website is not loading quickly, if there's any issues with navigation, that's user experience, which in lamest terms, again, means design.
And okay, so what's good design and what's bad design? How do I know what if I look at my website and you know what's good and what's bad?
So again, it's design as a word, as a thing, is quite subjective. Something that just looks good to you might not look good to me. So really, what it comes down to is usability. Is it easy to navigate? Is it easy to find information? So yeah. In this case, it's designed not to look pretty, but rather to be easily, so that users can find things easily, so that, let's say, phone number is very prominent, that your contact page is easy to get to, and so on and so on.
And so you, obviously things like phone numbers and contact pages. What about navigation? You know, there's a lot of websites that you see with probably not complex navigation, but quite in-depth navigation. There's a lot of it. There's a lot of, a lot of links. Is it sort of right. less is more in that context?
Not necessarily. So what most businesses do not realize, business owners, is that whenever you develop a website, really you should be designing for two entities. One of them is users, people, and users, people like it to be pretty and flashy and kind of nice looking and slick looking and all that stuff. However, Google, they like the user experience part. Quickly find something, not to get lost in the website. So going back to your navigation, it needs to be intuitive for people. So what I usually recommend always to any of our clients that have troubles making a decision if their website is good or bad. So take your website, especially nowadays on a mobile phone, one of the smartphones, and give it to your grandma or grandpa. And just tell them, hey, can you go to contact page? And just observe. That's it. So, and if they have troubles getting, if it's not intuitive, if they're trying to click on something and it's actually not clickable, if they are trying to scroll but it's not scrollable, things of that nature, that little test will tell you a lot. And then the second step, what I usually say, after you give it to your grandma or grandpa, give it to your kid or niece or nephew that are, you know, 5 years old or something like that. And then ask them similar questions and see how they interact with it. And as long as it's intuitive and people, even if your navigation has 1,000 links, but people can get to whatever they want to get to, that's not a problem. Like think of Amazon. Amazon has thousands of products, probably hundreds of thousands now. And their menu is not small. It's just built in a way that if you want to find something, you can find something. And sometimes a search bar is a very easy solution to that. If you have so much stuff, you can't fit it all in the navigation, just make a search bar that works properly, that does suggestions and things like that, and you're going to be golden.
If you're looking at your website and you're not sure if it's easy to navigate, I mean, I love the idea of the grandparent test or the 5-year-old test, and seeing if they can find their way there. Is it better for people to, if they find that their website is hard, is it better for people just to start again, build a new website, or redesign the existing? Is it enough just to do some quick fixes with the site?
It definitely depends. It depends on how much thought has been put into when the website was built originally. If your website is 10 years old or 15 years old, probably you need to be doing a bit more of a redesign, a bit more of kind of drastic changes. Yeah. But in a lot of cases, small tweaks here and there make a lot of difference. And that's what user experience optimization, that's where user experience optimization as a service comes in.
Yeah.
That's what we kind of do for a lot of our clients. And we spend a couple hours on the website. And then there are a lot of tools that allow you to see how exactly users interact with your website. Are they trying to click on something that they think is a button, but it's not a button? Or it looks like a button, but it's not a button? Or are most people going and clicking on something that is at the top of the page, but your main information at the bottom of the page, so they don't even scroll to it? So you just need to do a bit of analysis and reach out to somebody, or do it with tools that a lot of them have free trials or some kind of cheap plans. For session recordings, for heat maps. And then you as a business owner, you would be able to make some decisions, or at least you would be able to understand how much changes you need to do.
Let's talk about your clients. SEO obviously has a bad name in some circles. You know, there's lots of people. Yeah. I mean, we've all had emails from, you know, people in India and trying to sell us cheap SEO services, and not just India, like in multiple countries and things like that. But what sort of results should somebody be seeing, and how quickly should they be seeing them if they worked with a legitimate SEO company?
That's a very good question. I'm glad you asked it. So a little bit, step back a little bit. Yeah. As always, you get what you pay for. No matter what it's for, what it is, SEO or a car or a drink or whatever it is, the less you pay, most likely the quality will be matching that, the price. So that's thing one. For if the company is legitimate, how soon you should be able to see the results. It's a little bit complicated, but the idea is like this. You should be able to see progress pretty much immediately. Within a couple of weeks, you should be able to see progress of some sorts. It does not mean that the company will be able to put you on the first page in 2 weeks, no. However, if you have been ranking on page 10, or let's say position 99, you might see that you actually ranking on position 96.
Right.
Or you've been getting, let's say, on average 100 visits a month to your website, and now you're getting 101 visit. Right. So as long as there's progress, and another thing which is very, very important is a proper SEO agency or any marketing agency, they should, before they start charging you on for anything, they should have a strategy meeting and expectations meeting. So what we do with our clients, we sit down and we say, okay, based on the data on your current state of the website, on your current state of optimization, because everybody is different. Somebody has been doing SEO for years already. So based on your stuff, we can get you to here in this many months. Right. Therefore, we can kind of track the progress over time. And are we hitting those milestones? Are we hitting the goals in a month, in a two, whatever those milestones are? So as long as you see progress and the company you work with is transparent, that's pretty much the sign that the company knows what they're doing.
And I guess the million-dollar question, how much should people be paying for it? And I guess, obviously, you get what you pay for, but, you know, there's some agencies out there that might be charging, you know, a certain amount of money, some charging a different amount of money.
Right.
How do you look at that from a layman's terms, from a business owner who doesn't understand SEO, and go, should I be spending $500 a month? Should I be spending $2,000 a month? Should I be spending $5,000 a month?
Right.
What are those numbers?
So golden rule for digital marketing or marketing in general is 10% of your revenue. 10% of your revenue you should be spending on some sort of marketing. It doesn't have to be just SEO. Could be a combination of things. And another question which I always encourage business owners to ask is, how much are the results that the company tells me that they're going to deliver are worth to the business? Okay. So let's say you come to me and say, look at my data, and what can you project, how many leads or sales or whatever it is you can bring in a couple of months or a year or whatever it is. We sit down, we say, okay, it looks like based on these numbers, we can get you, I don't know, three extra sales a month. So to you as a business, how much are those sales worth? Are they, is it just $100, or are you selling something very expensive and it's $100,000? Therefore, you kind of, again, should be, the expectation should be that around 10% of that extra revenue, that's what you're going to be spending.
Okay.
It just kind of makes sense, right?
Yes. Yeah. But, and I guess probably the challenge then is, yes, you might start seeing results straight away, but you might not start seeing revenue right away. So, you know, there's a difference between a result of a, you know, growth in a particular keyword or a particular traffic, but that doesn't necessarily turn into revenue straight away, right?
Yes, that is correct. It's typically a numbers game. So there is an average for each website, for each business, there's going to be an average conversion rate, meaning out of 100 visits to the website, you're going to get this many leads. So I think industry average is around 3%. So typically you can expect 3 leads from 100 visits to the website.
Okay.
And out of 3 leads, typically you look at your own business data sales, out of 3 leads, how many do you typically close? Is it just one? Is it two? Is it all three? Are you that awesome? And that's how you can project. So whenever you are talking to any marketing company, they should give you projections for increase in website traffic, in website visits. And therefore, looking at your website conversion rates, you can predict or project how many more leads you can get, and therefore, and when you can get them. Because as you mentioned, it's going to be kind of a slower growth. So in how long or by what time can we get an extra 100 visits a month? Is it going to be in a month, or is it going to be in 3 months? And again, you just make those simple calculations. And typically, good SEO companies, good marketing companies, they will present that upfront before you start paying, or at least in the discovery stage, they will present it and then kind of guide you through that. And typically, kind of a golden rule is, the less they talk about data, the worse the expectations should be, right?
Okay.
So if they're all just like promising everything, yeah, we're going to get you 100 leads and don't worry how we get them, then something is not right. So just trust your gut in that regard.
Let's finish off, because I want to understand, you know, you've been running your agency for what, over 5 years now? I think 5 to 6 years.
Yeah. Yeah,
6 years. Right. Okay, 6 years. How do you find your own clients? I mean, obviously, I would imagine you have your own, you know, SEO strategy. But what other ways do you find, you know, sourcing new clients? How do they reach you?
Right. So, as you said yourself, one of our biggest lead drivers is SEO. Yeah. So we are ranking number one in Houston for SEO companies. So if anybody Googles
and,
SEO
and what,
Houston.
What particular keyword is that? Is that SEO companies Houston, or is there?
There are a few. So SEO Houston, Houston SEO, Houston company SEO, Houston agent, SEO Houston agency, and so on.
Yeah.
So we are number one, sometimes we're number two. So that's one of the biggest ones. And other than that, we do outbound strategies. So we kind of try to pursue specific clients we want to work with based on case studies and knowledge of the industry.
Yep.
So let's say if we were able to achieve really good results for a HVAC company, like an air conditioning company in one area, then we can implement the same strategies and do the same thing for a company in a different area so that they're not competing. Okay, but yeah, we can more or less not guarantee, but we can show that we've done this for this company, we'll do the same thing for you, and we're much more what's the word? I'm lost for words now. We are much more sure that we can get that new company to get good results based on the previous experience.
Well, and with that outbound strategy, what are you finding works best for you? Emails, phone calls?
Cold emails don't work. Cold calls don't work. Okay. It is all about relationship building. It's about finding the right person and, in a sense, becoming friends. It doesn't have to be in a normal sense friend, have lunches together, anything like that. That would be great if you can. If you meet somebody at some kind of a networking meeting or conference or whatever it is, that's even better. But other than that, nowadays, especially with COVID, everybody's online and there are a lot of groups that you can make friends, air quotes, online friends through Twitter and all the social medias and even things like finding. Now it needs to be natural. You shouldn't kind of fake it, right? So if you do enjoy somebody's content and you like what their company is doing, but you see some potential, and it's really for any business. Like what's a good example? I'll stick to marketing since I know it. If I see a company that does really cool stuff, but I see there's like a little hole in their marketing strategy, it's like, hey guys, you probably should be doing this, and then kind of run them through it. And typically, if you can provide value beforehand, before you charge anybody, the trust builds up, and that way you kind of become friends before you start any business relationship.
Okay. All right, last question for today. What's your what are your favorite brands aside from the marketing space? You know, is there something in Houston that we ought to know about, whether they're in marketing or any other consumer brands? A business that perhaps impresses you a lot.
Oh, that's a loaded question for sure. So I am a foodie. I do like really good foods.
Okay.
And I actually, before I started any of the marketing stuff, I worked as a chef for quite a few years. There are a couple good small restaurants, kind of you don't find on TripAdvisor or anything like that. Velvet Taco, they have a very few locations, very small place, and it's amazing. So if anybody is in Houston area, do visit Velvet Taco. As for just bigger brands, I like Tesla.
Yep.
Because of kind of the futuristic aspect of it. There's a lot of talk about is electric cars, are they better or worse than in terms of pollution and all that stuff. But just the idea of kind of thinking about the future and going to the future instead of trying to get the most out of right now. Well, let's concentrate on the future and capitalize in a little bit later. I like that kind of strategy and future planning. I do enjoy that part. And their car looks cool. So, yeah.
Cool. Mate, look, thank you very much for your time today. It's been great learning a little bit more about your SEO approach and also your business as well. If anybody wants to reach out and find you, what's the best way of getting hold of you?
All right. So the easiest way is to contact us on the website, through the website at regexseo.com. Regex stands for regular expressions. That's a technical term, and SEO is SEO. Yeah. Or if you would like to reach me directly, then I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, and social medias, and my handle is at Digital Spaceman. We are in Houston, NASA, all the goodness, you know, and then the whole space going up, improving. Yeah, like there's the background, the little
spaceman behind you. Yeah,
yeah.
Cool.
So awesome. At Digital Spaceman.
Thank you very much for your time today. Have a good rest of your day. I've no idea what time it is there with you. I lose track of everything, but
yeah, it's night almost.
Cool. All right, cool. Thank you very much for being on the show, Dimitri. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for the SEMO Marketing Podcast for this week. Thank you very much for tuning in. We look forward to you joining us next week. And if you want to find out any more about SEMO, www.semo.com.